I'd like to start out this sermon today by reading some informative facts about the human mind. And this comes from a website titled The Human Memory. And here are these facts. The human brain is perhaps the most complex living structure known in the universe. Although it accounts for just 2% of body weight, it uses fully 20 to 25% of the body's oxygen supply, nutrients, and glucose as fuel, all of which are supplied by a constant blood flow. The brain is a huge, complex organ with an estimated 100 billion neurons passing signals to each other via as many as 1,000 trillion synaptic connections. That's a lot of neurons and connections in our brain. It continuously receives and analyzes sensory information, responding by controlling all bodily actions and functions. It also is the center of higher order thinking, learning, and memory, and gives us the power to think, plan, speak, imagine, dream, reason, and experience emotions. The mind, of course, is a wonderful, important, and powerful part of our created bodies. And actually, you can find a wealth of information about our brains and our minds on the internet and even sources in the library. Our Bible, God's Word, also addresses the topic of the mind, and there are a lot of references in the Bible to it. As it relates to the Bible, the mind is the critical element that one uses for understanding and the reasoning faculty. Using this reasoning faculty, we as humans make choices. And the scriptures, God's holy word, shows that the choices that one makes determine the character that is constructed in our lives, whether that be good or bad. Turn with me, please, to begin the sermon to John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and let's read verses 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. The Apostle John warns in this section of Scripture about bad choices that leads to sin. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse number 15. He writes, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So that is a choice that we can make using our reasoning faculty, whether we are going to follow the world or follow God. Verse number 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life," and those things is what leads us to sin, "is not of the Father, but is of the world." Verse 17, "And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." The last part of verse 17, "he who does the will of God abides forever," is the better choice for us to make with our reasoning faculty in our minds. The world, as we see here in verse 17, is temporary. But God's way is permanent. It lasts forever. The point that the Apostle John is making in this section is that we, as disciples, cannot allow ourselves to become like the rest of the world. Now, as we approach this Passover season and the spring holiday season, this is a time of deep reflection and meaning, reflecting upon the significance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Also during this season, as we begin to reflect and examine ourselves, we can reflect upon the need for us to change, to make changes in our lives. Romans chapter 12, the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. The Apostle Paul gives us insight here on how to avoid following the world. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. And he writes to the brethren in Rome and says, verse number 2, "And do not be conformed to this world." So the Apostle Paul is admonishing disciples to take a different road from following the world. And then he shows us how to accomplish that. Continuing on, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So that's how we can accomplish taking a different road from following the world, by the renewing of our mind. In other words, adjusting our moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the mind of God, which leads to a transforming effect upon our lives. Today's English version of verse 2 reads like this: "Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to Him." The Apostle Paul urges us to be transformed, disciples to be transformed by a continuing transformation process. The title of today's sermon is "The Renewal of Our Minds." The Renewal of Our Minds. Today we will examine the process of renewing our minds according to the pattern that Jesus Christ has set for us. Because Jesus Christ has set a pattern for us to follow in His footsteps. To accomplish this task of renewing our minds, we will cover three important keys in the renewal process. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this is a good topic to cover this time of the year as we approach the spring holy day season, as we begin to examine ourselves, to begin to set course corrections and the renewing of our minds towards Christ's example, to look upon what we've done this last year, thinking about it, meditating upon it. Do I need to make changes? The faults, mistakes that I've made. And yes, we do need to make changes. Let's back up to verse number 1. Verse number 1. The Apostle Paul says, "I beseech you therefore," and if you have a marginal reference, the word is "urge." "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies." Now let me stop there for a moment. He says, "present your bodies." Now that's a little bit difficult, the way that's worded in the English, "present your bodies." Another translation that I think is a better translation is "dedicate yourself." Dedicate yourself. I urge you that you dedicate yourself. How? How do you dedicate yourself? To be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's how we can dedicate ourselves. Making changes in our lives. Walking with Christ instead of walking away from Him. Notice that he calls on us to be a living sacrifice, not a ritualistic one. A ritualistic one is just going through the motions because you have to. A living sacrifice is one that is dedicated to God, a life of service to God, and is connected with spiritual worship. Now the Apostle Paul addresses the fact that a dedicated life, in which he's talking about in verse number 1, should be a transformed one. Verse number 2, "And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Not conformed to the world, because that is where the threat comes from. The threat to us as disciples, to try to get us to go down that road instead of following Christ. He admonishes us to be transformed. A better translation is, keep on being transformed. Keep on being transformed. It's a continual process in our lives. Not just transformed one and done, but an ongoing process every day of our lives. And actually, when it comes down to it, there are two processes going on all the time. One of walking away, renouncing the world, and the other is to be transformed, a transformation process in our lives, a continued renewal of the mind. The Greek verb that's translated transformed is also characterized in the English word metamorphosis, which is a total change from inside out. I like what the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, how it comments about this word renewing. This is what it says about the word renewing. Through the operation of Christ upon the disciple, the Christian is constantly rejuvenated and begins afresh. I like that so much. Through the operation of Christ upon him, the Christian is constantly rejuvenated and begins afresh. And when we think about this time of the year, that is so true. It's a time to be rejuvenated and refreshed in examining ourselves, a renewing of the mind. Now the Holy Spirit has an important part in the renewing process. We'll talk about that a little later on. And our pattern is to follow Christ. Now there's another important element that I'd like to add before we move to the next scripture. Another important element to consider is not only Christ our pattern in the renewal process, the transformation that we can make, the transformation process, is only possible because of Christ's sacrifice. We can only be transformed, a renewing of our minds, because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us. Notice in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in the last part of verse number 2 and carry that through to verse number 4. Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing to the churches in Galatia, a province where there were many churches, many cities located. Notice the last part of verse number 2 in Galatians 1. He says, he's writing to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, who gave himself for our sins. And why did he give himself for our sins? That he might deliver us from this present evil age. What we've talked about previously as being the world. According to the will of our God and Father. So it is through Christ's sacrifice that we are made right with God. And he gave himself for us to pay the penalty for our sins. Willingly, I'll add, being part of the Father's plan. And we, you and I, are delivered from this present evil age, the values of this world, walking in the ways of the world, through the risen Jesus Christ living within us, helping us in this transformation process. And it all starts with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Notice 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 24, Christ's sacrifice makes it possible for us to be transformed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, meaning our old life, our old man, our sinful nature being put away, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And then he adds, by whose stripes you were healed. Because of his sacrifice, we have the opportunity to go forward towards the kingdom and to be a part of the family of God. He gave us that opportunity, and we must take advantage of that opportunity and work on making changes. That's what's so important about this upcoming Holy Day season. We have the opportunity to make those changes, the course corrections, as I like to call them, in this examination process. So for the rest of the sermon time, let's examine three key points in the transformation, the renewal of our minds. Key number one in this transformation process is the right spiritual input. The right spiritual input. Another way that we could put this is the mind of Christ, having the mind of Christ in our lives. The mind can be right, made right by the right spiritual input from the daily study of God's Word, our prayer life with God, the communication that we have between the Father and ourselves, coming to Sabbath services and drinking in more of His Word, understanding His Word, the holy days, all this is part of the right spiritual input in our minds. 1 Peter chapter 4, we don't have to go very far, just over to the other side of the page. 1 Peter chapter 4, let's read verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. It's interesting here that the Apostle Peter is using the military terminology that the Apostle Paul liked to use so much. You know, the Apostle saw the Roman soldiers on a daily basis walking through the streets with their armament and all their equipment. They knew what it was like to have soldiers in the streets, and they saw that armament. And they used that vision of what the people had of soldiers with arms in a spiritual sense to give the word to the brethren. So he says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Talking about the mind of Christ. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Continuing on verse number 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Similar to what we read earlier. Not following the world, but following God's will and God's way of life. Verse number 3. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Those that have the same mindset of Jesus Christ have had enough of that way of life. And they arm themselves with a different kind of mind. That's what the Apostle Peter is giving to us in this particular section of Scripture. Verse number 4. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. In other words, you're not following the crowd. You're not going along with the rest of us in the things that we're doing. And they speak evil of other brethren. And Peter was saying, it's better to make the other choice and go with the will of God than go with the crowd. Those who have the same mindset as Christ live their lives not after the desires of the flesh, but rather living for the will of God. I'd like to read verse number 1 from the Amplified Bible. It reads like this. For whoever has suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ, is done with intentional sin and has stopped pleasing himself and the world and pleases God. We must, on a daily basis, be seeking the mind of Christ, the right spiritual input. And we can do that by studying God's Word on a daily basis. It's the mind, our mind, in conjunction with God's Spirit, that helps us to know the mind of Christ. And as we continue to grow and conform to God's will, we will be developing a Christ-like mind as He was conformed to the will of the Father. Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8, let's read verses 5 through 7. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Again, there's that choice that we can make with the reasoning faculty of our minds. Do we set our minds on the things of the flesh, or do we set our minds on the things of the Spirit? There are two paths that one can choose. In other words, setting our minds. And the Apostle Paul has drawn the contrast in two ways of life here. The one is the way of human nature, with its pulls leaning towards pride, ambition, lust, and sin. And the other one is a life dominated by the Spirit that leads towards the will of God, abiding in Christ, and focused on the kingdom of God in their life and not the material. Today's English version reads like this. Those who live by the flesh have their minds controlled by what human nature wants. But those who live by the Spirit have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. It's far better for us as disciples to have our minds controlled by what the Spirit wants than what the flesh wants. Verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is death. That's where it ultimately leads to. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the last part of verse number 6 is the better choice for us to make. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's read verses 3 through 5. Second Corinthians, chapter 10, verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now, here this time, here's the Apostle Paul using the military terminology, talking about warring according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, using fleshly human weapons, because there are better weapons for us in our battle in against our human nature. Verse number 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We have to have God's help in our battles against our human nature. Notice he says, mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, what's he talking about, pulling down strongholds here? Well, he's talking about wrong thinking, as we see as we continue on in verse number 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into a captivity to the obedience of Christ. So, strongholds, faulty thinking must be brought down. Wrong thinking must be stopped. And every thought must be brought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. In other words, casting out unsound thinking and reasoning, and it helps us in our battle against sin. And God can help us in that battle. And I'm sure he'd like to hear us ask when we come before him in our knees in our prayer, God, I've been struggling against this particular problem. It's a battle. It's like war, and I need your help. Give me that help that I need. He'd love to hear that from us. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, walking in his footsteps, following his example. Verse number 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. This is talking about building a strong foundation following Jesus Christ. Notice the terminology, rooted, like a tree root that's solid in the ground. Built up and established in the faith. A firm foundation, in other words. Continuing on, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving, following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and building your foundation upon Him, the mind of Jesus Christ, that right spiritual input. Colossians chapter 3, just across the page, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. As we go through this section of Scripture, there's a lot of correlation between baptism, the baptism symbolism. When we're baptized, we're put under that water, completely immersed, picturing our sins being completely buried under that water, symbolically, completely forgotten and forgiven. Then we come up out of that water to live a new life. Thus we start verse number 1. Chapter 3, verse number 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. I think that's a wonderful picture to focus on. Verse number 1, as one's coming up out of those waters where sins have been forgiven, looking to God for that help, where Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, setting our thoughts on things above. Verse number 2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Verse number 3, for you died, talking about our old nature, our old sinful way, our sinful man, our old man, if you will. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. I mean, that's a great scripture to focus upon, thinking about our change that will take place when we're resurrected in our physical, mortal, human bodies that we struggled with however long we've lived in our lives, changed to a spirit being and being by the side of Jesus Christ in glory. Verse number 5, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. So, the Apostle Paul gives us a picture of that glorious change. And then he says, therefore, this is why, you should put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. The things of the world, as we have read previously. Put them away, that way of life. Verse number 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Our old way of life that we used to walk in. Verse number 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, our old way of life. And verse number 10, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Renewed in knowledge, a new mindset, and a different way of life according to the example of Jesus Christ. And setting our minds on things above, not on the earth. The pattern that Jesus Christ has set for us. One more scripture in regards to this right spiritual input. And I'd be amiss not to quote this one. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have this mind in you, in other words, that the mind which was in Christ might be perceived in all of us as disciples. Now it's interesting that there are various Greek words, our English word mind here. There's actually a half a dozen Greek words used for our English word mind. And some of them have to do with the reasoning faculty, our understanding that our minds have. But in this particular case, this Greek word, which is phronio, means to think in a certain way and implies a moral interest and attitude. In other words, not just thinking and reasoning things, but thinking in a certain way. And that way is the mind of Christ and the attitude that he had, his life. The same kind of attitude of humility, love for others that he displayed. And completing the will of the Father as well. That's the kind of mind that we need. That's the right spiritual input. The mind of Christ in us. The mindset, or the mind that is controlled by the Spirit, led by Christ, leads to eternal life and leads to peace, both today and in the kingdom. Number two, the second key to the renewing of our minds, repentance. Repentance is an important part of a renewed mind. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Good time of the year to be thinking about repentance as well as we approach the spring holiday season. Isaiah chapter 55. And let's read verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And that admonition is so sound and so important. We don't know how much time we have on this earth today. You know, anything can happen to us at any time. The admonition is for us to constantly be seeking God while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Verse number 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. Now let me stop there for a few moments. The admonition here is returning to the Lord, which we would call repentance, turning back to God, making that course correction from going down the wrong path, correcting that, and going on the right path to following God. That kind of course correction in returning to the Lord. In the scripture, verse number 7, the first part, gives us two ways to make that course correction, to return back to God. The first way is, let the wicked, talking about the man of iniquity, the sinner, let the sinner forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So, getting away from our sins and those wrong thoughts is a way of returning to the Lord. And what are the results if we do that? The last part of verse number 7. And he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's a good goal to set, to return back to God, forsaking our sinful ways and our wrong thoughts. And God will have mercy upon us. How great is our God to give us that kind of opportunity and to have mercy upon us. Abundantly pardoned. Something that we can reflect upon with the Passover approaching. Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. David, of course, knew his sins. There he was, the king, the very king of Israel, a powerful nation in the ancient world. The leader of God's people. And yet, he was a human being. He made mistakes. And he had to repent of the sins that he had made in his life. And we have in record here his thoughts and his prayers as he repented to God. Psalm chapter 51. And let's read verses 10 through 13. As we read through Psalm, these verses 10 through 13, think about David asking God for a new mindset, a renewing of his mind as he prayed to God. Psalm 51, verse number 10. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now when we talk about the heart, we're talking about our inner being, what makes up our lives, our attitudes. in the way that we think, including our mind. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence because of the mistakes I have made, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Verse number 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. What a great thing to ask for. Restore to me that vision of your kingdom and being in the kingdom and the restoration that will take place there and the change in my body that can take place. Restore to me that vision, the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then he adds this in verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. You know, brethren, that those verses right there gives us a snapshot of why God has called us. Sometimes you might think, now why has God called me out of all the people on this earth, out of 300 million people here in the United States of America? Why has he called me? He's called us for a purpose. That we go through this life, we learn our mistakes, we make those course corrections to get back right with God, receive that pardon, repentance, and then when the future comes, when we get our chance, when we're resurrected, we can go up to other people. Perhaps some that never even opened up their Bible, ever. Don't even know who Jesus Christ is. And we can go up there and teach them. We can go up to them and say, look, I made my mistakes in my life. Believe me, I did. But I was able, with God's help and God's mercy, to get my life right. Let me show you the way, and I can teach you. That's why God has called us to be those teachers and priests and kings in the kingdom. And it's a wonderful thing. And it's something that we can look forward to and work hard to be a part of that vision. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. But actually, I'd like to back up to the very last part of chapter 6. The last part of chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is quoting from the book of Isaiah. And let's pick it up in verse number 17 of 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Therefore, again he's quoting from Isaiah, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch which is unclean, and I will receive you. What we've been talking about, not walking with the ways of the world. And the results in verse number 18. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Then verse number 1 of chapter 7, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Those great and precious promises. That's why we need to clean ourselves up, is what he's saying. Let's drop down to verse number 8. He goes into a section talking about the letters that he wrote to the brethren in Corinth. Verse number 8. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Verse number 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. There was something worthwhile and valuable there. It led you to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. Then verse number 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance, notice, leading to salvation. And that's the goal, ultimate goal that all of us have, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying the sorrow of the world is a type of lip service. You know, just saying you're sorry, but not really meaning it from the heart. That's the sorrow of the world. But a godly sorrow is true repentance. a godly repentance, like we read in David's words, in getting right with God, and God knows it, and he takes us into his arms. It's very important for us, brethren, at this time of the year, as we go forward to the spring holy days, that we focus on the need to repent. And we have that opportunity. That includes a deep desire to change not only our lives from going down the wrong path, but to be renewing our minds as well. We can ask God for that help and be glad to give us that kind of help. Number three, the third key to have a renewed mind, and I've already alluded to this earlier, the Holy Spirit's involvement. The Holy Spirit's involvement. Very important key to the renewing of the minds. We read earlier where the Apostle Paul admonished us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So, how can this transformation process take place? The change of our minds. Well, let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5. Romans 5, verse number 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I like that phrase, poured out with the Holy Spirit. That's a lot of it, and we need a lot of the Holy Spirit working in our lives when we're in that battle and those the warfare that comes at us because of our human nature. The Holy Spirit given at baptism in conjunction with the laying on of hands. That's how we can have the renewing of our minds. And we need that help on a daily basis. Romans chapter 8, just a few pages over. Romans chapter 8. Let's begin reading verse number 7, and we'll carry that on through verse 14. Romans 8, we're actually picking up where we left off earlier. Romans 8, verse number 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse number 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. You know, our old man, our old way of life, that human nature is put away. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse number 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And that's what we are shooting for. That's our goal, eternal life in the kingdom of God and to be a part of the family of God. Then we finish this section in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Led by the Spirit are the sons of God, or we could say are spiritually minded. Spiritually minded with a renewed mind, a transformation process taking place in conjunction with the mind of Christ and God's Spirit working within us. One more scripture in regards to this third key of repentance being important in this renewing of our minds, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. This is a section that we focus on quite often associated with the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to the church. But it serves us well to look at this section with this topic we're talking about here today. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 6. Now let me remind you that the Apostle Paul was training young Timothy. Timothy was a new minister, a young minister. He was going to go out to begin to preach the gospel message to the world. And the Apostle Paul was giving his admonition to young Timothy in this section of Scripture. Verse number 6, 2 Timothy 1. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So not only did he receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism, but when he was ordained as a minister, the hands were laid upon him, and he came into the service as a minister. And the Apostle Paul is reminding young Timothy to stir up that gift. And that phrase, that verb, to stir up, he's telling him to work. There's effort involved in to stir up that gift of the Holy Spirit within you, to exercise and increase the gift that God had given him. And there's effort and work on our part in stirring up the Spirit, including asking God for more of His Spirit to help us in our battles. And again, God would love to hear us ask for that, no more than asking for money or whatever material things we might want or need. I need your Spirit in my daily battles. God would love to hear that from us. And help me to stir it up as well. Continuing on, verse number 6, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and, notice, and of a sound mind. And I'd like to add, a renewed mind, a transformed mind, using that power of the Spirit to accomplish God's will. Because power accompanies the Holy Spirit. The Nelson Study Bible adds this: the Holy Spirit is what gives us the spiritual gifts and empowers us to use them. We've talked about now during this sermon three important keys in the renewal of our minds. First of all, the right spiritual input. Secondly, a repentant attitude and heart. And also the Holy Spirit's working in us. To finish the sermon, let's go to a prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. And let's read verses 31 through 33. I chose this particular scripture because it corresponds to the Bible study we just recently had. Exodus chapter 24, we talked about the confirming of the covenant between God and Israel, what we call the marriage ceremony between God and Israel, where in verses 3 through 8 of Exodus chapter 24, the people, remember, they said, we will do what God has told us. And I'm paraphrasing the I do part of their part of the marriage ceremony. And then we see during that ceremony that Moses, upon taking a sacrifice, took the blood and sprinkled the book of the covenant, and he also sprinkled the people, confirming that covenant that was made between God and the children of Israel, what we call the old covenant. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 31. Behold, and that's that word I've told you about so many times, to get our attention, to grab our attention, that something important is about to be told. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, the covenant that we've just gone through in the Bible study series. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. They made that covenant with God, that pact, and said, yes, we will obey you, God. And time again, they backtracked on that covenant. And God says, I'm going to make a new covenant better than that one in the future. Verse 33. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Laws in their hearts and their minds. And I'll add with a renewed mind, with the mind of Christ living within them. A better covenant. That is what God is promising. A picture of change. A change of heart and mind that is coming in the future. It says in verse 33, in their minds, a renewal process like never seen before on this planet. Brethren, this is an important time of the year to consider the task of renewing of our minds with the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread approaching. We must make an effort to do the work, to have the right spiritual input, to have a repentant attitude and heart, and truly ask for the help of God's Spirit to accomplish our task. Let's be diligent this upcoming Holy Day season to make the changes from the path of following the world to doing the will of our great God. The continual transformation, the renewal of our minds.